What's up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here, host of the Video Game Bang podcast, and we are taking a break this week. Aaron, the team, and myself have been working extremely hard, and we figured it's time to take a Sabbath, if you will. So this week, no new episode. However, we would like to celebrate our first week off ever by remembering our first episode ever. So we are going to be playing back episode number one, numero uno. But before we take this stroll down memory lane, I want to remind you all to go check out nerdreactor.com. If you do not have this website bookmarked, I disown you. And get in contact with us. We like to hear from you. We like to interact with you, celebrate your victories, cry with you in defeat. And you can follow us at Video Game Bang on Twitter and facebook.com/videogamebangbang. Now, we are going to jump in a time capsule, if you will, and go back to the very first episode of Video Game Bang. And let me set the stage. This is about July of 2013, about 10 months ago. So the show is only 10 months old. We had had the idea to start this podcast for months, if not a year in advance. We started the Video Game Bang blog and very little activity. And then finally, we decided to get a podcast rolling. We got the equipment ready and got the motivation to actually come over to the house and get something rolling. So what you're going to hear is extremely rough. We had very little idea what a podcast even was at the time, how it was going to sound. And it was just Aaron and myself in a room chatting it up about the things we love. I hope that you guys enjoy this. I know that I look back at this moment that you guys are about to hear as probably one of the highlights of our very short career in this field of media-ish things and writing. It was the spawn of a lot of good times, a lot of good friendships that we've been building. So enough mushy crap. And without further ado, I present to you the very first episode of Video Game Bang. I hope you enjoy it, and we will be back with a brand new episode of Video Game Bang this Thursday. So I hope you enjoy the show. We will see you on the internet.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
People get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Video Game Bang, video game and technology blog. It is me, your host, Corey Vincent, and my good buddy, Aaron Carter. Say hello, Aaron.
Hello, everybody.
And we're going to hit you with a variety of topics, anecdotes, maybe some stories. You think we can give them some stories?
Hey, some come to mind, yeah. Stories are always good.
All right. If this is your first time listening, my name is Corey. And is this what you do in a podcast?
I think they know that already.
I don't know how to do this. So it's better to have two people who don't know what they're doing than just one, I figured.
Yeah. Two is always better than one.
You know? So, man, I wish we were recording the earlier stuff we were saying, because trust me, it was hilarious.
Well, that's always how it works. You never get the good stuff on record. You always get it off.
One thing we found out is that Aaron has never heard of Primus.
Never.
And he's never heard of Master of Puppets.
Let's get this straight, first of all, because this is radio and nobody can really see who I am. And I know I've had my voice confused plenty of times with Cleveland. I'm not a Caucasian male. I am of the darker tone, black, some would call us. So Primus kind of goes a little over my head. I have heard, though, of Queen of the Stone Age.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Now. Yeah, see, I don't think that really works, because I, for those of you who are not watching this,
just everybody,
because everybody who's listening, I am not a black man. I am a Caucasian male, But I have a well knowledge of rap and hip hop and urban culture.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, one of these shows we do have to do a who knows more about the other cultures songs and references, because I know I got some stumpers out there. I think I can name a lot more artists. Prime is one that's just a fluke. I think that is.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is about video games.
About
video games.
So I guess we'll start with a easy topic. How about the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4? Aaron, what are your choices? Go.
Choice right off the bat, if I had to choose one, I would have to go with Xbox, only because I've invested so much in the Xbox 360, and I would like to see some of that, if not all of it, roll over to the Xbox One. But it's not because I believe Xbox One is the better system, or, you know, it's going to have the better games on there.
Which it is.
That's still debatable, you know.
No, it's not.
It's just because, you know, I'm sitting into, I think, 3 more months of Xbox Live already on my Xbox 360, you know, which I'm most likely going to renew. And so when the Xbox One comes out, if I can just roll all that time over, you know, it's so I won't start all over, pretty much.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I don't know, man. I just think that the Xbox got a terrible rap from popular video game media and crazy. There's fanboys on both sides. So it took two to tango, but there was some...
How many of those fanboys do you think fell off when they heard all the news about the restrictions that the Xbox One was going to have?
Well, some of them, you know, but yeah, man, that's what bugs me so much, is because the DRM stuff had potential. If you can get past the old Stone Age thing of handing someone your video game to borrow, like, that was the biggest bullcrap ad campaign that everyone just ate up so much. And let me tell you why. I see you getting ready. Okay. You were going to be able to do digital exchanges on the Microsoft version, on the Xbox. You were going to be able to let up to 10 friends borrow your games. The only requirement was that they had to be on your friends list for, what, 30 days or something like that, which is reasonable. Now, if I were to – how many people do you lend your games to that you've known for less than 30 days that you hand your brand new $64.64 video game to that you haven't known for 30 days?
Well, nobody. Nobody. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
Okay, but why can't they still do that now?
Well, because they have to – actually, that's a good question.
Exactly.
But no, my guess would be that – you know, if I have one copy of the game, one version of it, one license. And so if I'm playing it, you can't be playing it. But if I give it to you and you're borrowing it, essentially, I shouldn't be able to play it too, because otherwise we just both are playing the same game.
That's okay. I understand where they were coming from, where they were trying to stop piracy and you know, they were trying to look out for their own, you know, I don't know, financial gain instead of just, you know, losing all that money. I think it's just the way that they just came out and blatantly. It kind of seemed like they were just putting handcuffs on everybody and were just like, this is how it's going to happen. Don't worry about it. And then that whole that whole thing with the, oh, you know, you have to keep your Xbox on. All right, hook it up to the Xbox Live every 24 hours type of thing. And if you want an offline system, hey, it's called the Xbox 360 or something. Yeah, come on now.
Yeah,
don't shoot yourself in the foot when you do
those
stuff
executives
like that.
Were pretty mouthy towards the fans. But you know, but going back to that, so you nobody lends someone they've known less than 30 days their brand new expensive video game. And second on that, how many times have you lent out a video game that someone else still has you never get back?
You see, I was thinking about that too. Before I had borrowed a game from Jerry, one of our other close friends. And it was literally a couple of weeks. Or no, not from Jerry, from Steven. It was a couple of weeks before all this news came out. I had borrowed Dragon's Dogma from him. And I was like, wait a minute, I do borrow games from other people. So what if I couldn't borrow that game from him? Then I'd just be like stuck or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, but it's even though it's rare, it does happen sometimes.
Yeah, but know? Jerry and you said, and Steven, both very dear friends of the program, you've known them for longer than 30 days, and if they don't give you the game back, you have an idea of where you can get it back from. But how easy would that have been if you could have just digitally said, okay, let's give Lunchbox 916 my game license for this week, and then I'm taking it back in a week or when I get back? Or,
but it still raises the question, why can't they still do that now then? Because, I mean, that would be a huge selling point. You know, I don't have to go to Steven's house. I don't have to go to Jerry's house to trade the games.
Oh, the reason they can't do it now that they reversed the DRM?
Yeah.
Oh, because the 24-hour license check. So they were going on your Xbox profile every 24 hours to check what licenses you had the rights to and whether you were playing them. So if I say I'm lending this game to Aaron, and then Aaron gets the game and then we both disconnect our Xboxes or whatever, we both have, you know, there's no way to keep track of that license.
That's okay. All right.
I'm guessing. That's my thought. And, you know, I'm not.
You don't work for Microsoft.
I don't work for Microsoft.
You just own a lot of their products.
I just own just about everything they've ever made.
Well, that would be cool. That would be perfectly fine. But there's got to be some way. Like, I can think of at least one way to get around something like that. If they have programs whenever you download demo trials on your computer that says this program will be deleted after a certain amount of time or whatever. So what if they did something like that and the time could be extended if you did log on and they're like, oh, you know, you still have permission or something. There's other creative ways.
I think the whole reverse on the DRM way, I think they're still going to go through with a lot of those original features. But they're just going to have to it was too much too fast. And video game people don't like super harsh changes like that. So we've learned.
Well, I don't think it's about the change, because the Wii changed a lot and for video game standards, and then you still saw it sell millions. I think it's when you tell a gamer what they can't do, they don't like.
Tell anybody what they can't
do. Oh, yeah. Tell anybody what they can't do.
Yeah.
So it was just saying, you know, you're not going to be able to do this. You can't do that. You know, we're not going to allow that. Then they got it. So if they had said, you know, hey, you guys can have the Xbox, but we're not going to let you play, you know, M-rated games.
Force me to buy the Kinect. Yeah. I'll buy the Kinect when I want to buy the Kinect.
That type of stuff is just don't tell me what I can't do with the stuff that I paid for.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why a lot of people were like, hey, PlayStation is going to be the clear-cut winner this time because we can do whatever we want on this thing.
But, yeah, with so few changes. You can do everything on the PS4. Actually, and I read a story, for future reference here in the podcast, me and Aaron both are not video game professionals or journalists. We play a lot of video games and discuss a lot of video games. But as far as citing sources, don't expect that. Google it. I read an article that PlayStation just patented the term or the word or the phrase PlayStation TV. And if they come out with a TV thing, I will find
are you thinking that they're going to do something similar to Xbox?
Yeah. Yeah, they're blasting it saying, oh, we're a video game system, not an entertainment system. And all their fans are saying, you know, if I wanted I want a video game system. I don't want an entertainment system. They're going to neglect the video games.
But can you fault them for that?
No. I think it's brilliant. They should do that. I'd respect that. But them trying to dog one company for giving its consumers, you know, multiple forms of entertainment and then go ahead and by the way, we're going to patent PlayStation TV.
Yeah. I mean,
good luck to them.
Yeah, and they'll try to, anything that they see is going to be successful, you know, they're going to try to, you know, duplicate. Same thing when the Wii came out and the controller was successful with the whole mass market of moms controls and old people and, you know, little kids, and it just got everybody involved in gaming. You saw the PlayStation Move come out, something like Kinect comes out. And, you know, just try to get those type of people to their system. I know Xbox wants you never to leave their console alone. So whatever you do, they want you to be on the Xbox. Whether it's TV, whether it's video games, movie rentals, whatever. They don't want you leaving that Xbox. So, I mean, They're trying to get that one all-in-one packet. If Sony can duplicate that because they see it's successful with the Xbox, they're going to do it. They're going to jump right on board.
What do you think about the $100 difference? It's $100, right?
$100 difference. Only thing I think that's... It's only difference because the Kinect is with it.
The Kinect, yeah.
The PlayStation Eye or camera, whatever they call it now. You know,
they were going to package that with it, from what I heard.
But to save the money.
It would have only been a $40 price difference, I think. But
I think this is Sony's way of, like how Xbox 360 came out first, even though it had a whole bunch of bugs and red ring and crap like that. They came out first, got that first jump on Sony, and they sold, you know, a lot more, and it became, you know, arguably more popular than the PlayStation 3 is. I think this is Sony's way of saying, hey, we're cheaper, but we're going to guarantee you same type of graphics, if not better. And, you know, this is their early type of release type of thing. That's just a little push to get them a little better than Xbox One.
Yeah, if $100 is what's going to be the make or break deal for you, I mean, that's I guess, your prerogative. But for me, that $100 going into the Kinect, is one of the most relevant pieces of living room technology since the microwave oven.
Wow.
Especially those who keep the microwaves in their living rooms.
That's extremely bold, and nobody keeps their microwave in their living room.
Something important in the living room.
I don't know why that would be. Why do you think that is so vital to the Xbox life?
It's voice recognition. Not only like voice recognition, it can tell the difference between voices.
So just laziness in general? No.
Tell me what other device in your home can do voice recognition, track your motion, know your face.
My cell phone.
Your cell phone knows your face.
Whenever I have it locked, I just press the button. It looks at my face. It knows it's me. It turns on. Wow. So
okay. Let's go on. Can your phone look at your body and tell your heartbeat?
I
and
don't
watch
want
the
my
blood
phone looking at my
circulate.
Body that way. That's disturbing. Yeah. And then what does that really help? How does that interact with me as a gamer? If I'm playing Halo, why does it need to know my heart is beating at a certain rate?
I don't know, but like maybe for the fitness games, because fitness games, everybody I know that has an Xbox, besides my Yakum friends, Yakum. What is Yakum, Aaron?
It's a group of people that interact with us. You know, they talk about the same stuff that we talk about. You know, they're probably going to be the primary audience for this podcast.
Yeah,
probably
only going to be people who know what Yakima is, but it's our clan, if you will, our clan tag.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to say it. It's the clan tag.
So, so none of the Yakum friends do it because they're all out of shape, but myself included. But you know, but the rest of the people, the normal people I know, all have at least one fitness game or use the Kinect regularly, just as much as they use the full blown console.
So it's for fitness. I could see if they integrated it like you're playing Kinect Fit, for lack of a better term or whatever, and it sees that your heart rated is accelerated.
And
we need to stop real quick.
I think about that too. Even if maybe if the technology gets perfected, what if someone's heart stops? Or you put it in grandma's house.
It's not
going to
call some type of emergency
call law
system.
Enforcement.
That's a little too invasive. Like it's a little into
you heard
my
it here
personal.
First, Xbox Kinect will someday save your life.
Yeah, and. That's why you get all those things on the internet talking about it spying on you. It's looking at you, what you do.
That's true.
You know, you leave your girlfriend at home, and then all of a sudden it's just checking her out the whole time. Yeah, that's not what's happening in my house, I tell you that. Xbox will be shut down.
You know, and they said you can just go ahead and unplug it, too. It's not going
to... Yeah, and so then why do I need it with my box? Why can't you take that out
you
and
know
then
that,
give me a $100 less system?
That's a great question. And what I think and what I've read so far is that if you make it just a part... Okay, they sell the Xbox. And every Xbox comes with a controller.
Uh-huh.
So every developer who makes a video game knows that that's a peripheral they have to work with. If you're going to make a video game, you have to use a controller. And it will get used. It's not an optional thing. When the Kinect was optional... There was no, you know, someone, it costs more money to make Kinect a part of your game. So, and you know that only maybe a fourth of Xbox users have a Kinect, why focus on it? Why are you going to pay the extra money on a peripheral that maybe a fourth of the people has? And with Microsoft, with this big TV push and using the Kinect in different aspects like that, and if they make it a thing that every Xbox is going to have, the game developers trying to top one another just have one extra peripheral, whether it's recognizing your face for a gameplay. I mean, you're not going to have to get up and do jumping jacks every time you are going to,
no.
I don't know, slaughter somebody in Call of Duty, but just the small things you probably won't even notice.
So do you think then that just because they're packaging this with, what you're saying is, since they're packaging this device with everything, the Kinect with everything, it's going to encourage developers to develop for it more?
Yeah. If everybody has it, and it's going to be a tool to use, if you're making a video game and I'm making a video game and I see your features and I want to make it better or cooler or throw in a little, pizzazz or whatever, now I know it's worth making Kinect functionality that everyone's going to have it. It's uniform.
Then it's just all up to the developers, I guess, to see if it's a success or not. Because The only thing that I saw so far at that E3 presentation was Xbox TV, and then instantly. So, and then that's another thing. If I don't have my Kinect connected, can I still change channels that fast?
I have no clue. I hope so.
Because it's like there is no TV button on the remote, is there? I saw that there was like a menu button now. And was that a start button on the other side?
I'm not too sure. I know one was like a...
Because they don't have select anymore. There's no back or select button.
I think PlayStation and Microsoft are using... kind of like what you see on your smartphone now, where it's context sensitive is what they use. So the button will do different things depending on what menu you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool.
Yeah, because nobody ever used...
You could still call it select.
Nobody ever used select. Like, select never did what... It never selected anything.
No.
It was either go back or it did nothing at all.
Or kind of paused your game.
Select was a useless button for every game that I've ever played.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this the Kinect thing, I think eventually they will probably come out with some type of bundle that's a little cheaper without the Kinect. If developers just decide to not even deal with it with developing games. Right now I can't see any game that's going to be better with Kinect, which was their slogan for the longest, right?
Was it?
Better with Kinect. Everything on every box.
You must be a fanboy if you know all the stuff.
By the way, let me explain. Yeah, because I knew that was going to come. I worked for GameStop for half a decade plus.
That's accurate.
So I heard all that stuff in the store all the time. I mean, better with Kinect. It would be on every single box.
But
the game,
say,
truthfully, wasn't better with Kinect.
I worked at GameStop with Aaron. He was my junior manager. But he was not your typical GameStop. So before you cast stones at this man.
Oh, yeah, please don't.
Know that he got fired basically for valuing customer service over trade-ins and subscriptions and stuff. Sorry, GameStop, if you're listening.
Future sponsor.
Your future sponsor, GameStop. Making games better.
I think it's power to the play.
Oh.
I think still. I haven't been there in almost a... Yeah, it's 2 years almost now. Wow.
Yeah, I was on your side of that one for sure. I really didn't give a flip about the about subscriptions or reserves. But man,
stuff wasn't. And now they're doing the thing with the pre-ordering of the Xbox, where they only have 10 pre-orders for Actually, I think it's for both systems. They only have a limited number, which I don't understand that strategy with both companies. If you're going to go sell a system, sell a system.
Yeah.
Don't limit people to,
I don't know what the quantities are on both sides, but I reserved my Xbox One yesterday because I read that Amazon sold out of the day one edition. And so Amazon sold out. All the GameStops in this area, from what I understand, are sold out.
They're gone, yep.
And, if I'm going to knock one thing on Xbox, it's they did a pretty crappy job of really making the day one bundle something you need to have. you know, you get a controller that says day one and an achievement. And it's, they actually advertise they advertise special day one packaging. Because I'm going to save my packaging.
So what's this achievement under? I don't understand.
You're just going to turn it on and achievement unlocked, 10 points.
There's got to be a category. Because, I mean, think about the categories that you have for, like, individual games. It'll say, like, you know, Spider-Man, Web of Shadows, achievement unlocked for that. So I wonder if there's going to be a system category, things you do with your system, and you unlock different, you know, achievements, Avatar Awards, like you do with a regular game. It's just for your system.
Give me an Avatar Award. That's all I'm asking for. An extra controller. Screw that. I don't even want the thing. They haven't done
an extra controller since, like, Nintendo 1.
I know.
Or, like, in 64 or something like that. Nobody does extra controllers for some reason anymore.
Just for pre-launch? Because I actually, this is how bad I am. I actually went to Microsoft.com and started chatting with one of their representatives.
That's, like, pretty nerdy.
And I said, why should I reserve here? Like, there's no incentive. The only thing is they don't bill you until it ships. And I think if you reserve somewhere else, like GameStop, you have to throw your $10 in.
Oh, or yeah. No, you throw your, like, 50 or 100 or something.
And they're
like
going to collect interest. And it makes sense for them. But Microsoft, you know, and I don't get to, like, participate in the crazy overnight madness. Because I wanted to originally do the midnight launch.
Is it going to ship directly to your house day one?
Yeah. So I will get it on day one, but I'll get it at, like, day one at 4 p.m. or something.
Yeah, because that's really exciting. Oh, 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. No crowd.
Exactly.
The crowds can be fun. You know, if they have other events, that was one of the fun things at GameStop, the midnight events. You got to see the Red Bull girls come out and, you know, fake love the crowd for a little bit and hand out Red Bulls.
They've never drinking a Red Bull, or played a video game.
Like, oh, the new Crash Bandicoot's coming out. Like, yeah. It's Halo 4, ladies.
It's Halo 4.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we like Halo 4. It's the one with Lara Croft, right? Like, yeah. Just give me the Red Bull and smile for my pictures for Facebook. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all. So you missed that in the Xbox release. But, I mean, you get an achievement and a day one controller.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that should make up for it, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess just having it day one, there's some prestige in that. Especially seeing what they did for the people who bought the original Xbox 360 day one. They sent them all, didn't they send them a complimentary controller?
You mean the people, like, as of recently?
They were doing, like, a rewards program for people who were originally on Xbox Live.
Yeah, they got something. I know Gerald, he was a day one buyer. I think he was a day one. One of our friends, Gerald, he was a day one buyer. And he kept saying that he was getting something. But I'm not sure if he got anything physical or did he just get, like, a digital copy of a game or something like that.
I'm pretty sure they got... If people are still listening at this point who work with me, it's an inside joke.
Wow. Sorry. So that's nobody, pretty much?
Okay. Yeah, nobody. That's... Yeah. So the question on everybody's mind, Aaron, are you going to reserve the Xbox day one or any console day one, or are you going to sit and wait?
The answer would probably be no. I mean, personally, I have other things I have to purchase, you know, but that's just me. If it was like I had everything that I wanted and they were coming out, then yes, I would pre-order, you know, my Xbox right then and there and wait in line and everything.
Aaron, is it a financial issue?
No, it's not a financial issue. I've been putting other things. Like, I haven't even been playing my Xbox too much, you know, besides the free games. I haven't purchased an actual game since Defiance that let me down. So much.
Oh, don't get us started on Defiance.
That's a whole nother show.
It's a whole nother show for a whole nother time.
I don't know. I thought I was in this whole, I'm, you know, jaded on video games things, but I saw games like, what's the one from Bungie that I really want?
Oh, Destiny?
Destiny. Oh, yeah. My gosh. That one, that's a whole nother show on its own because that game is going to be incredible.
Destiny looks pretty awesome.
There's that robot game where you get inside the mechs and stuff like that.
Oh, Titanfall.
Titanfall. That's another one I want to play.
Titanfall looks awesome. And that is like, if you're an Xbox fan and you're listening to this and you want to, like, piss off someone who's really adamant about the PlayStation, just bring up Titanfall. It's the game everybody wants.
Yeah.
Ever since they made the original Call of Duty, the one that we all love before it just kind of got oversaturated. You know, they quit from there, made their own Respawn Entertainment with, I believe, EA splitting the bill. So they have unlimited video game money, basically. And then they come up with Titanfall.
And it looks like it's going to knock it out the park. But, I mean, so far I've only named two games and they're first-person shooters.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm looking for a little more variety. That's what got me burnt out on the Xbox already.
Is it so wrong? Are you excited about Kingdom Hearts or the...
I've never played a Kingdom Hearts game besides the one on the Game Boy Advance. And I know everybody's going to be like, oh, there's no way you can say it's a bad game. I don't care. I do not care about Kingdom Hearts.
But you get Goofy.
I could care less about Goofy.
With a sword.
And Sora, I think, is the name of the main character. I have no idea what the story is about besides a little boy playing with cartoon animals.
Yeah.
And a key sword.
Yeah. What about the Final Fantasy that we're getting
Final
to?
Fantasy, I could care less about.
Really?
Final Fantasy hasn't been good since Final Fantasy, what, 7?
Oh, man, you're just
ruining
our fan base right now.
I mean, I'm just telling the truth. There's not a lot of new games that are, a lot of new sequels that I care about. And I'll even throw in another one that a lot of people like. Halo,
no.
What is this, 5?
Get out.
I'm like, who cares?
All right, Master for those Chief. Of you listening from home that don't know, this is my house that we're recording this in. Aaron is a guest in my home right now, and he is verbally assaulting my favorite franchise.
Between you and Gerald, because Gerald, another friend, you know, he is a big Halo fan. I think you two are the only two excited for it. Nobody else is
I
excited.
I beg to differ, my friend. Oh, wait! Sorry.
Who? Do you have somebody else?
No, screw that.
I was going to say, Master Chief walking in the desert.
You even like the last Halo.
I like the last Halo, but am I playing the last Halo now?
We could.
Yeah, I could also bungee jump, but I'm not doing that as well.
Okay, point taken.
It's just, I get tired with the same old over. And I know they've come out with DLC, and they actually have a new game mode on there and everything. But to me, this stuff should have been there in the beginning. You know,
okay.
And that's a whole nother DLC podcast on its own. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's nothing. There's only two games, like I said, I was interested in. Oh, excuse me. I take that back because I really want to see and really want to play Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be the one that's not, I guess, a first-person shooter. You know, it's first-person, but not first-person shooter.
Yeah,
but
that was a great ad. If they did not add that first person, I wouldn't be excited.
Yeah.
And if that may be stupid, but for some reason, because it was Bethesda and it wasn't going to be first person, something about it just...
Hey, it wouldn't feel right. No, yeah. I can't name any other Bethesda game that isn't Fallout or Elder Scrolls that I played and was like, oh yeah, this is their company's good.
Did you play Dishonored?
I didn't play Dishonored, actually. That was Bethesda. I thought that was published by them. Not.
Oh, that's possible. Possible.
Because they publish a lot of stuff, and they'll slap Bethesda on there, and then you'll think it's good, and then no. Because I believe they also did that other first-person shooter that tanked that we all pre-ordered, and the name of it escapes me right now. And I know anybody listening to is probably going to be yelling out the name of it.
Yeah. Our one rabid fan, yeah. Noel, is going to be sitting there screaming.
Stupid name of the game is this. I can't believe you forgot it. But they slapped their name on a game and it tanks. And I don't know.
Did you see that new gameplay trailer for GTA 5?
GTA 5 is another game I'm excited for because, but I'm a little wary because GTA 4 are, IV, as some of my customers used to call it.
Y'all got that Grand Theft Auto IV.
That one I pre-ordered and purchased, because I was excited when I saw the little trailer for that, too, which was similar to this one. But I only played it for like 3 months, and then I was like, I'm on to the next game. But this one looks way bigger, like more stuff you can do, and they haven't even touched what you can do online. So I'm like... I'm all down for it right now.
I heard from an unreliable source that there's going to be like a stock market or yeah. something. There's going to be an economy.
Yeah, did you not see the trailer for it?
I saw the gameplay trailer that just came out like a week or two ago.
Yeah, and it says whenever you rob banks, which you can choose how you want to rob a bank now, a smart way or just like a wild gun shooting way, I guess. They were like, where are you going to invest your money at? And then they show him investing his money in different stocks. Whoa. And it's like, that's probably going to be one aspect of the game that you're going to have people just concentrating on just to get their money out.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can spend a lot of time in one small aspect of a game that's like so large like that, then I think that game is already a triple star title. Yeah. If that's the highest rating you want to give a game,
triple stars.
There's three.
Good.
Yeah, that's
three stars.
It's freaking X Play ratings are 3 out of 5.
Out of five.
Yeah, that it looks good though. It looks good.
And by the way, Adam Sessler, we're big fans.
Not of the hair.
Not of the hair.
Oh well, he doesn't have any anymore. So whatever. No.
Morgan Webb, not so much, but he tried.
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
Not a fan. At all.
Always welcome on the podcast.
As she walks through your door.
Yeah.
Not a fan, huh, guys?
Jeff Keighley. All right. Sorry. I guess we could talk about Jeff Keighley for a minute. If you guys know Jeff Keighley, I'm sorry. But he was always on GameStop TV, and his interviews were the absolute worst.
They were the worst. I haven't seen him lately, and I don't know if he's upped his interview game. But he did an interview about Shadow the Hedgehog, and it was mind-numbingly bad. And it looked like the developer didn't even want to talk to Jeff.
She was a woman, right? I think it was a woman who looked pretty uncomfortable.
I just remember them panning to him, and he kept asking, yeah. "We're going to see Shadow in Little Gun?
Little Shadow and his gun?"
It's like, Jeff, shut up.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about Shadow and his gun.
Shadow will have a gun and he will be in the game, Jeff. You're going to maybe shoot the gun?
His whiny voice.
Yeah.
It was terrible. But he still gets paid, so.
He gets paid more than us.
Oh, way. Way more.
Yeah, GTA 5, I think I made an oath. I made a blood oath with my wife that I would not purchase any more video games, especially because the Xbox One is coming out. So I was going to, you know, take this sabbatical. And GTA 5 is going to make me break my promise.
Yeah, that's pretty deep promise breaking there. You said you took a blood oath.
It was a blood oath.
And you're going to break it for GTA 5, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
The game looks like it would cater to a co-op, which I am big on co-op games, if nobody knows. I think you do by now.
Oh, yeah.
But you three different players. You can go switching back and forth between all of their lives. And apparently they do stuff while you're in somebody else's life.
Oh, really?
Which I don't know how they're going to keep up with all that. Like, I have no idea. I mean...
So, wait, is the main campaign area, they said three main characters, but will I be able to go in your game as one of the characters?
They haven't said anything about online yet. I mean, they probably have somewhere out there, like some of the little things you can do, but the trailer that I saw, they said they were going to explain online later. And they just showed a guy panning the city with a whole bunch of gamer tags everywhere.
Yeah.
Blowing up stuff and driving everywhere. And, you
madness.
Know, of course, like a GTA game is, like... When I bought GTA 4, they had just a free roam mode with everybody. You get in, and there's just like multiple people just doing all type of crazy crap around the city.
They nailed that in Red Dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Red Dead was that game. I wish I hadn't sold that, but that was a good game.
That achievement from getting from one end of the city to the other city in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But it felt like the other guys knew we were trying to get that achievement, and they were chasing us.
It was,
you remember that rival posse for no reason? That it brought an era.
Beaches like, in the game.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Like, when we were playing that game, like, especially when we were trying to get the other achievement for having a wanted level for something really high, and we held up in that little Alamo.
Oh, area. Yeah. Next to the cliff or whatever.
Yeah, right by the cliff. And then it was like, all right, we've been here for 10 minutes. We got to get out.
Yeah.
And so me and Noel jump on horses and we're going and they shoot his horse. He's like, don't leave me. And I'm like, it's an achievement.
Yeah, they
he died that day.
Sounds like we should have a moment of silence. He died that day.
He did.
Noel, rest in peace. Oh. Yeah, people hate on games like that. We went back and forth in like not even a death match, just random. Remember with the guys that were on expert mode?
That was brutal.
And they were like, oh, see, we killed you because it says killed in expert mode. We didn't need the auto aim or whatever. So, I mean, they have some of the stuff, it looks like, from Red Dead Redemption on the Grand Theft Auto. Because you can hunt.
Oh, yeah, there's hunting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited to play tennis.
Did you see the tennis? Yeah, I saw that, too.
Oh, man, if that is Kinect-enabled...
They're not going to do anything like that.
Because
this is still Grand Theft Auto for Xbox 360 before Kinect came out. This is going to be Red Dead Redemption plus Grand Theft Auto 4, just on a bigger scale or whatever. I'm glad that they're taking it. It looks like they're taking it back to, San Andreas
or
whatever?
San Andreas map.
And then it looks like they're
expanding.
Was that
CJ in the game?
No, that's not CJ. It's somebody different. But they have, like, different... With each character, you see the different parts of the city. So, like, the CJ-looking guy, he's in, like, the slums, the hood type of thing.
Oh, why does he gotta be in the hood?
Because that's just how it looks.
Because that's how it is? You're giving in to the stereotypes, Aaron?
Well, they have the redneck guy, and he looks like he lives in a trailer park.
Okay.
And then they have the businessman white guy who used to be an ex-bank robber.
And that's not Lance.
Not that I know of,
because the characters besides the hillbilly look just like the ones from the other games.
No, not I don't think that's any
Italian guy with the pompadour.
Yeah, I don't think it's any reappearances of any old characters. I mean, there'll probably be some, I don't know, mention or something. You know, they do that in Grand Theft Auto's.
Oh, I hope they bring back Laszlo.
But it's going to be good. Grand Theft Auto, I don't think, has ever failed to deliver on
completely.
All this stuff. Yeah. Like, even the one on the DS that came out, the Chinatown Wars.
Oh, yeah.
I played that one, and that one was really good, too. And it was old school Grand Theft Auto, top down, so.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more Video Game Bang.
Wait, hold on.
Hold on, and we're back. We're getting back. Thank you for sticking back. This is, of course, Video Game Bang, where we talk about video games and controversial court decisions. We're talking about the Zimmerman trial. And I just want to get Aaron's take on it, because we're scanning Facebook, and there's a lot of rage and upsetness from people here. And I just want to see where Aaron sat on it. So go
ahead. All right, so a couple of things first come to mind when I saw the verdict or whatever. It wasn't shock. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, how can they let this, you know, criminal get off and everything like that. And I'm not saying I'm like, oh yeah, he should have got off or anything like that. I'm just saying you shouldn't be shocked that he got off. Like, this doesn't happen in America, or this doesn't happen once in a while, or every day, or whatever you find normal.
Yeah, well, it happened in Florida where Casey Anthony also got away.
Yeah, so like, okay, what are we really shocked now? So I would be shocked if people rioted, because then I'd go out in the street and like, what are you rioting for? What are you rioting for? Because he got off? Really? There's one guy who is probably going to get killed, you know, suspiciously by gang violence later on in his life somehow.
Well, yeah. When the first thing happened, when he first got shot and it became this huge Twitter thing, I knew just what I was seeing from Joe Blow's posts on Twitter, where they just made it seem like it was just a complete hate crime where a white dude just was on his neighborhood watch, saw a black kid and got terrified and shot him.
Yeah.
But then it turns out there's more to it. The dude was Hispanic. He's dated black women.
I don't know about that.
He wasn't a racist.
No, I don't think he was racist.
It wasn't a hate crime. It wasn't.
I don't think
race,
he was like
racial.
like. There's a thing. There, you don't have to be racist, but you will treat a race a different way than you'll treat another race, because especially I know this from
at night.
Well, I don't think it wasn't at night, was it? I thought it was during the day.
Oh, well, in my head, I always pictured at night.
So. I always thought it was during the day, so I don't know. Because, like I was telling Corey before this,
shot during the day.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Wow,
I didn't look too much into it. You know, I'm really literally going off of the small information that I got from reading news articles. I did listen to that 911 recording of him calling the police. So I'm not, you know, I wasn't there. I don't know anybody that was there. I didn't sit in the trial or anything. I'm kind of just going off of the small little articles that I read and people's reaction. People's reaction is not surprising to me that they were, you know, oh, wow, you know, this criminal is gotten off free and everything like that. But it wasn't surprising to me that he got off with it, you know. The thing that that I'm kind of like out of all of it is just like, okay, don't overreact to this whole situation to where you're, you know, going out and huge protests and stuff, because it's not going to change anything. The verdict is one way. He can't be tried twice for it. You know, they let him off. They let him off, whatever, on two counts of two different things or whatever. There's nothing you could do. You know, the family is it's a tragedy, terrible, terrible tragedy. I wouldn't wish it upon anybody,
but
the family is going to move on, you know.
Yeah, I feel bad for the family, but, you know, the pictures they're showing of this kid are, like, the most innocent, like...
Because he's the victim. They're not about to show him as the devil.
Well...
He died. He's the victim.
Yeah, but before he got shot, he was pounding the dude's head into the ground.
Yeah, because he probably felt threatened himself. Yeah. You got a grown man following you. What are you going to do?
Turn around and smash his head into the concrete. What any other American would do.
No, what any young black kid would do.
Okay.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's not just what anybody would do. It's what any young black kid would do.
And now, he did that. I mean, okay, and to say that, any young black kid, too, they were painting this guy to be like a perfect Samaritan.
I saw that,
at
too.
The very beginning. They were guy had never done nothing, church kid.
No. See, and that's the other thing. When I was on Twitter, too, I saw a little post saying that, oh, he was a smart kid. He had a full ride to college. No, he wasn't. We're going to be truthful here, you know, because I'd rather be truthful than to paint a picture of some perfect young black kid. He wasn't perfect. They said he got suspended from school for, you know, graffiti. You know,
he had a police record.
He had, I don't know if he had a police record. I know he was in trouble at school for having, like a screwdriver that they just put down as like a tool to steal stuff or something like that, or like, you know, a robbery tool. He had like jewelry in his bag or something like that. And the reason why he was off that day was because he was off for being suspended for school and stuff like that. I mean, that's not enough to make him Satan.
A villain. Yeah. I'm not trying to vilify him at all, but to say that he was just innocent kid and a guy was doing neighborhood watch.
Yeah, that was the media putting him, are trying to get those sympathy, you know, votes or whatever, to try to make this dude, you know, a guarantee lockdown. It was trying to stir up emotions, you know, more than they needed to be. You mean, the situation happened. It was very bad. You know, there was no winner in this whole thing.
Nope.
You know, not even Zimmerman or whatever.
No,
but
you gotta live with the murderer his whole life.
I mean, he killed somebody. You know, it's not like throwing out the trash, you know. And it's not like saying I'm on his side and I feel sorry for the dude. You know, he made his choice, you know, in that situation. You know, if he was getting beat up and he felt like his life was being threatened, I don't know what anybody would have done in that situation.
Yeah, it's in a situation where if I have a gun and it's, I feel like I'm about to die, and that's what you do. You gotta kill or be killed in a way, right?
But it has to be, it's like you have to have that situation. I mean, who's to say it was that situation?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know how many witnesses were around or whatever, but it's just like, I don't know. And, like, where did he go after the shooting? Did they say anything like that?
I have no clue. That's a good question, though.
You know,
I hope they asked that during the court trial.
Yeah, I would hope they asked
that. I think he probably went straight to the hospital, would be my guess.
His injuries didn't look that serious. If I'm getting beat up, feel like my life is threatened, I pulled out my gun. For some reason, I have a gun on me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just happen to have a gun on me.
You just have a gun in your pocket.
And I shoot this guy, you know. I don't think I'm running away. I think I'm kind of staying around the scene of the crime because I know what I did and I know the situation.
Yeah.
And I'm the most expert person at that time to tell other people that's going to eventually come around and see this person bleeding on the floor what just happened, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What was his actions after that? Why? There was too many questions for me to just be like, he's free of all charges, of all blame. Now, it could be, you know, hey, dude was beating him so bad that he almost killed him, you know. But from the pictures I saw, the injuries didn't look that bad. Just like a regular beating to me, you know, that you was going to bounce back from, you know, eventually. But, like, the thing, why did you have a gun on you? Why were you following him when they told you not to? You know, keep eyes on him until he gets out of your sight. You called the cops already. Let them handle it.
Yeah.
You know, you gave a good description. Let them handle it. That's what they are paid to do. You know, your neighborhood watch. You watch. You know.
Neighborhood shoot.
Not neighborhood
kids.
Shoot. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in all accounts, in my book, he's guilty. But somewhere, you know, they found the 12 people in America that think he isn't, and they put him on that jury, and they came out of that, you know, that room and said he's not guilty. The only thing we can do now is, you know, just move on from it, and I guess have some small, you know, relief that the family doesn't have to go through anything further with this trial or anything like that. They're going to be, you know, crushed and devastated, you know. But, I mean, there's a lot of things that go unjust here. Like you just said, the lady that killed her daughter or whatever,
yeah,
her baby, she got off. I didn't even know that. That literally...
Then murdered it.
That literally is news today to me. I didn't know she got off.
Oh, yeah. She got off and moved and stuff. I think she's, like, in Washington now or something.
Look. Brand new life. Yeah. She killing babies out there.
So whether it's the Florida justice system is just backwards or whatever, but either way, people flipping out. You know, you don't know the full story. You weren't there. You have an opinion, but don't change your life over it.
And don't riot, people. You know, let me take it back. Don't riot, black people. Let me talk directly to y'all. Don't riot over this. You know, whenever the verdict came out and I was watching it live on the internet or whatever, they had protesters up there, you know, and that's fine. Protest. You have freedom of speech. That's fine. And the reporter that was there, the black lady, she was like, and I want to stress that there is no violence going on right now. And I was like, yeah, she has to stress that because they know black people will be violent and they will break stuff because they feel they've been wronged and everything like that. And, you know, they have, you know, their right to their feelings or whatever, you know, but let's Gandhi it, everybody. Let's do some peaceful, you know. Malcolm X wasn't angry all the time. Not all the time. Just 90%. That 10%, he was cool, you know. And he was like, hey, we can get along with white people. Martin Luther King is right. You know? We don't have to break stuff to get our point across. Let's work smarter, not harder. There it is.
Yeah, and if this is your first time listening, this is Video Game Bang, the video game podcast.
Talking about Zimmerman and Trayvon video game that's coming out on Xbox One.
Yeah.
You made the decision at that moment. That's the whole game. You get achievement either way. You shoot them or you don't.
Yeah. So, can you imagine if someone did that?
That would be terrible. No. They've made games. They've made a Columbine game.
No.
Yeah. Search that stuff on the internet. They've done a lot of... The amendments.
There's sick people out there, man.
The amendments give a lot of people a lot of freedoms, and it's like, hey, that's what this country is built on. I don't know. That's kind of hard to say. This country is built on freedom. It was built on slaves.
you're turning into his. What was his name? Green.
Who is that?
We're talking about the watermelons.
Oh, Petey Green.
Petey Green. This is what you're turning into right now. Here's the beginning of the next Petey Green of 2013. Aaron Carter,
he was a little too radical, you know. He went on live television and did all that. Yeah, that's You know, shout out to Petey, you know. But it's, yeah, you got a lot of people that want to exercise their rights and do whatever they want. So, like I said, they made a game about Columbine. And you could probably find it in some backwards website that you'd have to dig up or something like that. But I remember seeing a video on that. It's another, hey, I can do this because my constitution says I can.
And I think that'd be the only reason people would do it. There's just those type of people out there that really have no moral
and it's,
compass whatsoever.
And it's a, you say I can do it, so I'm going to do it. Or shock value, or look at me, hey, you know. Because
yeah.
I just watched a little documentary on the 3D printer, and they have people printing, you know, ears, body parts, you know, to help people eventually. But then on the other flip side, they have somebody that wants to print out guns. Like,
because they can.
Because you can. And that was his whole argument pretty much was, because I can.
Because it's America.
Yeah, it's America. So I can, you know. I don't live in Russia. You know? So somebody wants to make a Zimmerman and Trayvon game, they probably will. You know, they'll be hated for it. People will be up in arms. You'll see it on the news. But
you know what?
Yay.
Free to play on Xbox
Live. Yeah. I
say we jump on this.
That's so terrible. That's
you
so
know,
terrible.
And we were talking about, I think we mentioned the Spartacus game a little bit earlier. Talking about a game making slavery fun again.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you do when you turn on the game is it says, hey, here's five slaves.
Yeah.
Choose your favorite.
What are you going to do with these slaves?
Yeah. Hmm? And if one dies, just get another one.
Yeah, just go buy another one. We have plenty of them. And then, hey, if you want to, we can just show you what the fresh ones off the boat just gave for you.
Exactly. Every 20 minutes, we'll give you five new slaves to choose from.
Don't ask too many questions about where we got them. Just buy them. That's fine.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's – and I don't know. I guess I wouldn't – I wouldn't have it any other way, because I mean, if people were all, I think even worse stuff would happen if there were more restrictions in America. I mean, there's already, you know, a lot of them, but like if you ironclad like made a whole bunch of stuff, I think people after this many years of having this type of freedom, oh yeah, we would there would be a lot more riots.
So we're on Video Game Game Bang. We like to talk about video games and only video games. And I want to bring up another topic. What do you guys think about that Game of Thrones?
The video game or the...
No, no one cares about the video game. The video game is crap.
The show is surprisingly good. And I say surprisingly because that first episode had me asleep. But
really?
Yeah.
Until they push the kid out the window?
Until literally. And that's like the last thing in the episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was probably what had me like, is he going to survive? Is he going to. So that's what it takes to get me into a show for future reference TV producers. Push a kid out the window and I'm all in.
Guaranteed ratings.
Guaranteed I'm in. But
that's,
yeah, I like the
that's
way.
That's what it's... Under the Dome needed to do.
Oh, which one?
The new Under the Dome. I've never seen it. And I just hear it's terrible, but if they push a kid out a window, I'll watch it.
Because it's a Stephen King book, I think.
Oh, is that where?
Either it's a Stephen King book or it's some horror writer's book, that Under the Dome, where that town gets stuck under the...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I read the synopsis on Wikipedia, and I just was like, I don't care about the show. I'm not going to watch it. So I know the ending, and I know what happens.
Oh, you already know the ending?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know the whole...
Spoiler, don't spoil it.
I know the whole thing, and it is... It's an M. Night Shyamalanian twist at the end, and it's like, just kill yourself.
You know, I read the only article I read was like from USA Today or something. Man, we're going to make a lot of enemies on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, there's never going to be a sponsor.
Because it probably wasn't even them, but the head thing said, Under the Dumb.
Oh, yeah.
That was a literary genius.
Oh, yeah, he probably spent hours thinking of that. Like, what rhymes? Or can I do anything type of Under the Dumb? Yeah,
it's that. Under the Dumb.
And he probably showed that to his editor, and that's genius.
Yeah, but the Game of Thrones, are you all caught up?
I am 100% caught up. I can't wait till next season. We need to see more nude Khaleesi
Ooh.
In the next season.
Ooh.
I saw her without her blonde hair, not as hot.
She looks weird.
They look very weird.
Yeah. You know, I found myself so into that show. First of all, I only started watching it like a month ago.
Uh-huh.
And it took me 2 weeks to watch the entire series. And that's with season one twice. So we were just totally, it had our lives. I mean, I was depressed. Wow. I was calling my wife Khaleesi. I mean, we were in a different world.
That sounds insane.
And then now, after like a few weeks of not having it and being caught up, I find myself on YouTube watching the actors on Conan O'Brien. And,
yeah. I did that for a little bit. But then, I don't know. Interviews kind of get dull after a little while. But the behind-the-scenes stuff is what I really got into after season one.
Oh, you mentioned something back when I had no idea who anybody was about Peter Dinklage?
The dwarf?
Yeah.
When he did the speech?
Yeah. What scene was that?
He did the speech when they were going to war, when they were about to... You know how they blew up all the ships with the...
I know what war you're talking about. We don't want to spoil too much for you guys, but there's a war.
If you haven't seen it by now, then you are just... late, extremely. But apparently he did a scene where he gave this, you know, this whole uplifting speech about how we need to go out there and defeat the enemy, and it was all ad-lib, like the whole thing. And apparently it was during the cast's break, and they just started rolling film on him, and boom, it's in the show.
Wow.
But I think that's just a testament to that guy's acting ability.
That guy got chops.
That guy he's good. And I would like to see him in some type of lead role, which will probably be difficult to do because I can't think of any, midget roles.
Wow. Whoa. Jeez, if I had water, I would have spit it all over.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, if
little
guys,
people.
Little people. Like that. How does that sound? How does that sound better than midget?
You know,
you're not a little person.
I never really thought about that.
Yeah. Like, come on now.
Little people, big world. I mean,
okay. Little people just makes it sound like you're a Disney cartoon character. like you live on an island with the other little people. And I have nothing against little people. Or midgets, or whatever you want to call them. Midget doesn't sound like a derogatory term to me.
It could. I think it's like the inflection.
I don't know where it started from. It's not like there was. It's not like we had midget slaves, and that's what they just called them. We called them all midgets, you know, just so we could differentiate them from the normal sized people. We can already differentiate them. They're small. They're all short. They're midgets.
Oh, man.
And I don't know what the difference between a dwarf and a midget is. They're both small people. I guess dwarfs just have beards.
Oh, man.
I have no idea what the difference is.
I hope the FCC doesn't check these.
Or any dwarf viewers, if they want to chime in and let me know what the difference is. I'm sorry. I'm 6 foot. I don't have that problem.
So, where's Noelle and Laura on this?
I don't even think that's a problem. Because this guy, Dinklage or whatever, he changed the game for everybody.
Oh, yeah. That dude better never have to put on a Christmas elf
never again.
Costume in his life.
And if I'm a huge director. I have him working on one of my things. I wouldn't even dare to even disgrace him with any type of role like that. No. After I saw him do that photo shoot where he's sitting in a chair with like a little suit on, and then he has a naked woman sitting on his lap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man,
he's ascended.
Oh yeah, he's made the word midget cool again. That's what I think. Yeah. he's the coolest midget I know. That's what I would say. And he backs it up with his acting too. Like he's a very good actor.
The first thing I seen him in was Nip Tuck.
Did they try to make him taller in that or something? What did they?
No.
What did he want? Plastic surgery? No, like, what did he need done?
He was just kind of like a side character in Nip Tuck who was dating some hot chick, I think. But even in that, he was the saving grace of that. That was one of those shows where you just kind of, you're watching just because there's literally nothing else to watch. So, that Nip Tuck is a very depressing television show, and I don't recommend it to anybody.
I've only seen like a couple of episodes, and they were always seem to be like very important episodes. And then I always told myself, I was like, I'm going to watch this show. But then I never got into it. And the main reason I think I never got into it is because the son in that show was – every episode I watched, they always made it seem like he was this beautiful guy. And he was the ugliest person I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, like, you know, he looked like Michael Jackson.
Like, I had no idea why people were attracted to him. And I was like, did he go under the knife or something like that?
Because
he needed to, in my opinion. And then he shaved his hair. And then I was just like, this is terrible.
The show was just depressing. It really had no plot or sole purpose. Was just to depress the viewers.
Just to make you feel bad about yourself.
Make you feel bad about yourself, everything.
Well, I never watched it all the way through.
But Dinklage was gold in that. And then Elf. He was an elf.
I never saw Elf as well.
No.
No.
Get out.
I'm saying some other controversial stuff. I don't think Will Ferrell is all that funny all the time.
That's
Ricky Bobby.
No, that was great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anchorman,
actually very good.
Okay.
Very good. Towards the end, kind of fizzled off a little for me, but I can remember a lot of laugh out loud moments. So I would say yes. I'm excited about the new one. I like Paul Rudd. That's why.
Paul Rudd.
He's just amazing. I like almost everything he does. When he tries to get serious, I kind of tune out a lot. Because I don't.
Was he in that serious movie with Tina Fey? I never.
Yeah, him. Like I don't throw a pie at somebody.
Yeah,
or, yeah. Don't get serious on me, Rudd.
What's the last movie you've seen in theaters?
Oh man, I'm not a big theater, and this is totally. I want to make films, so you would think I go to the movies all the time, but I don't. The last movie I saw in theater was Tropic Thunder.
Whoa!
Yeah.
You're lying.
No. I was in Walmart. I was shopping, and some friends called me, and I was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, we're about to go watch Tropic Thunder across the street. And it's like, you want to join? There was a girl I was into. I was like, I'm in. I went and watched it. Totally forgot about her. The movie was amazing.
The movie was good.
And haven't been to a movie theater since.
Wow.
I was going to go to a movie theater last Saturday, but those plans fell through as well.
What were we
going
to see?
That's why they fell through, because we couldn't decide what we wanted to watch.
It wasn't Man of Steel.
I suggested that, and she didn't want to go watch that.
Oh, it's a she.
Yeah.
Is that future Miss Carter? Mrs. Carter?
I don't know.
Wow.
No, there's always the plan for a future.
little girlfriend?
No.
I feel like Jeff Keighley when I start interrogating.
Yeah, you should never interview somebody about a relationship as Jeff Keighley. No.
Shadow and his guy.
But yeah, I don't. And then the movie theater is another thing. I don't really like movie theaters. My sister, me and her, we literally were just arguing about this. She likes going to the movie theater. She likes the whole experience. She likes the feeling that when somebody laughs or when you're supposed to laugh on screen, you know, everybody in the theater laughs around you. At the end of the movie, people clap. She's like, it's a whole experience. I'm like, that seems like a theater thing when you have actors in front of you.
Yeah.
When I'm at a movie. Yeah, when I'm at a movie, I want it for me to feel like I'm at home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want 30 other people in my house watching my TV. Sticky floors, overpriced popcorn, and I got to deal with, you know, other people talking maybe around me.
Kids kicking your seat.
You know, so I kind of like watching new movies in my own house, you know, the privacy of my own home, you know. And then I'm notorious for watching terrible movies, like just the worst movies.
Netflix is great for that.
Oh, yeah. Netflix is perfect for that. And me and my friends, when they had the little group view, we used to watch bad movies.
Where did that go?
And it went away. That was.
And did we all just take that and just
We
not,
sure like, did. We took it laying down.
There was no outrage.
There was no. And I looked up it online, and I only saw one post, and it was like a little sob story of a guy talking about how his wife was ill, and the only way he can really spend time with her is watching movies. She had to stay up in her bed, and he was down in the living room, and they would group watch. It sounded so phony and fake.
Is he contagious?
I don't know. But I was like, that wasn't good enough, dude. I could have came up with a better story than that. Come on now, if you wanted to get them to put it back, that feature back on. But yeah, we used to watch movie after movie, and we would sit there and commentate like it was Mystery Science Theater 3000. You ever see that show?
Yeah.
It was like that. It was just, you know, not robots.
Yeah.
So we liked it. We watched the worst movies, Vampires in the Hood. And
it was, what was that E-40 one?
The E-40, yeah, the Dead Heist.
Ooh.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was good.
And the sad thing was he was the best actor on that movie.
Yeah. That
he
was
actually
terrible.
Had some acting chops. Him and Peter Dinklage need to get together. Like a buddy cop movie.
Big, black, and little and little Midge.
In the Bay.
That's terrible. That would be the worst movie ever. But I would watch it because I like bad movies. And I like commentating on them.
The Man of Steel, I'm going to go see it tomorrow. Actually, I'm going to get to see it because my wife said I can.
Have you seen it already, though?
No, I haven't seen it already. But I'm really excited about it, and especially if they're going to build towards their own DC movie universe.
They can't.
They can't? Or
I think they can't. And I say this because Superman in movies and Batman in movies are too different. In comic books, you can probably put a Batman in the same universe as Superman because you can explain a lot of the whole, you know, he has gadgets that'll get him on the same kind of level as a Superman. So they can fight the same type of villains if they were to come up.
Yeah.
But in the movie live-action universe, if you were to put General Zod up against Christian Bale's Batman, Zod's going to just laser beam through
smash
his face.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's kind of hard to do that, you know, and that's why.
What about Avengers?
Okay, so Hawkeye. That's what I was going to say. Hawkeye, okay. In that major war scene at the end, what was he doing? He was scouting everything. That's
sitting
it.
On top of
sitting
a building.
On top of a building, looking at everybody and telling them, hey, you know, Thor's fighting somebody over here. Iron Man, could you go help him out?
So Batman can do that.
Like, so
some
really,
kind of role where
you think fans are going to be happy with Batman scouting and stuff like that?
Okay, what if they do for their phase one, we'll call it a Legion of Doom, or is it League of Doom, Legion of Doom?
Yeah, yeah. So where
they do a Legion
counterparts
of Doom,
for
so,
every single one?
Yeah, they bring Heath Ledger, they dig him up, and he... They
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Teamed him up with Lex Luthor. Batman has a shot against Lex Luthor if they use...
Yeah, Hold on.
Cut this right here. Start a new
one. All right, and we're back with more Video Game Bang. Sorry about that last abrupt cut. Aaron flipped out. he had a nervous breakdown because he has this theory on comic books and he couldn't suppress it. So we're going to talk. And Video Game Bang, I don't know if I mentioned this. We like to talk about video games, and specifically video games. And so for our next topic, we're going to be talking about the Marvel and DC universe and how they pertain to movies.
Okay. So we're at now in this phase, what, two?
Of Marvel?
Of Marvel.
Yeah.
We have the Avengers. Huge success.
Yep.
You know, everybody wanted to see a team for the first time get on that wasn't the X-Men or... Excuse me, X-Men, Hugh Jackman and his group of cronies, because that's all that movie was.
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, okay, whoa, Patrick Stewart. Nobody wanted to see Star Trek mixed with X-Men.
I'd beg to differ. I think everybody wanted to see Star Trek mixed with X-Men.
So we have, you know, a decent Avengers lineup, and I say decent because nobody cared about Hawkeye or Black Widow. They could have replaced them with other people. But anyway, that's getting off topic. And they melded well. They melted well into that movie, and they did, you know, a good job. So now a couple of people were thinking, hey, can we do a JLA movie, you know?
And for those of you listening, that is Justice League
of America.
Of America. I never knew what the A was. It's really America?
I think one of the iterations are. I think there's Justice League Association, maybe.
Association.
I could be dead wrong.
With the NBA.
No, I think it's Justice League of America only, though. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just never knew. I never cared.
Okay. So, and what I was telling Corey was
that's me, by the way.
I don't believe Batman, movie Batman, and movie Superman could exist in the same world because they're too different. When you think of the Christian Bale movies, which were, you know, by far the best Batman, and the people that he fights Scarecrow, he fights
Ra's al Ghul,
he fights Bane, which Bane wasn't even really Bane.
Yeah.
He didn't have the venom to pump him up and make him crazy strong. He was on a respirator, and he had asthma. So it's like, all right, that's Bane-ish, I guess. Not Bane-ish at all, because he wasn't from South America.
Yeah, they changed quite a bit.
Yeah, they changed quite a bit. And that, to me, seemed like that was the wall that they can hit, because Batman does fight super villains. You know, he has some super-powered people that he goes up against. It's just, how do you make those people realistic?
Uh-huh.
You really can't. Or believable, you know, because it's or maybe I guess if you do another director, but so the JLA movie, you got your Superman, you got your Green Lantern, your Wonder Woman. There's going to be big special effects because they all have big superpowers, and then the Flash, you know, he runs fast. Big special effects, big budget. Big fight scenes, stuff like that. Then you try to stick a Batman in there while everybody's doing all this super stuff. Batman, don't get me wrong, everybody, is my number one favorite superhero by far. But if you try to make the movie realistic, he's not gonna fit into that whole, you're gonna go see that Superman movie tomorrow and you're gonna see all those special effects and you're gonna see all that fighting and everything like that. And then you're gonna come back and you let me know if you think Christian Bale is going to float somewhere in there and punch somebody and get away with it.
Yeah.
Without getting his heart ripped out and then him left there on the floor. And then the next movie is just Death of Batman and Return of Batman somehow as a corpse. So until they can figure out a way to make a over the top Batman that's Iron Man-ish to where he's doing all this impossible-looking stuff as Batman, then they can't make a JLA movie. Because unless they just key down Batman a whole bunch and just, like, downplay him, but then it would be a terrible JLA movie.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a friend, and we were talking about potential casting. And I don't know. It's so young that they don't even really have too many other movies on the table, and there's already talks of a JLA, but they don't have a Wonder Woman.
Nope.
No Flash.
Not a decent Green Lantern, because I saw that movie, and Green Lantern is my third favorite.
Do you think that movie gets a bum rap, though?
It's not terrible. Was it that bad? No, it's not terrible, but it's not a setup for a JLA movie.
Well, it did. I thought my opinion on that one was that it was actually, I'll go so far as to say it was a great comic book movie. As far as painting the Green Lantern picture,
there are worse comic book movies. Yes,
they had a lot of what do they call that? Customer knowledge that they needed to fit out, because there's most of the people had no idea what Green Lantern was before they saw that movie. Batman, we all know Batman.
Yeah,
we all know Superman.
Iconic, yeah.
But when you get a Green Lantern, an actual mainstream movie, they had a lot of backtracking and to show like how he became the Green Lantern.
And it wasn't done bad at all. They stayed pretty true to the story, but as true as they could.
Yeah, and then that cliffhanger with Sinestro. Now you're getting into the meat and potatoes. That's where the movies are gonna pick up and actually get some more depth. And I hope that they still are planning on going through with that, and that the first one didn't.
I don't think they will, though.
You don't think so?
No, I think they're pretty much. They have to reboot it. They're going to have to reboot it. And if they do reboot it, the problem with the reboot is, and that may be another thing with all these movies, I don't think there's a Marvel had a whole plan, you know, these phase 1, phase 2 thing. I don't think DC does. I think DC is just putting out movies, seeing who likes it. If they like it enough, then we'll put everybody together. But I think Marvel had that plan. Whether you like it or not, we're going to throw, you know, we're just going to give you these movies, and then we're going to throw everybody together. Like, I wasn't a huge fan of the Thor movie. I didn't really care too much about it, because I just don't really care too much about Thor. That's just it.
Again, this is my house. My house, Gus.
It's just that, but they, you saw Thor, you got his backstory, you know a little bit more about him. So when he comes into the Avengers, it doesn't just totally look like, oh, there's a blonde hippie guy, you know? Oh,
is this a breaking story? No way.
What is that, Justin Bieber?
No, it's not Justin Bieber. That's Corey Monolith.
And that's supposed to mean what to me? What happened to Corey Monolith? Who is Corey Monolith?
Someone just posted, whoa! No way. The Glee star Corey Monolith found dead in a Canadian hotel room.
Damn Canadians.
Whoa. That is that for those of you first listening, this is Video Game Bang, where we talk about video games, everything video games, and the Glee star was just found dead.
Who was that?
You didn't want, you see, you don't have no Glee knowledge either?
I watched I think season one. I was at a friend's house, and he was watching it on Netflix, and it was interesting because of two cheerleader chicks that were extremely hot.
Yeah.
They got me interested into it.
Wow.
But then I lost. They said we're going to regionals so many times, I just lost track and was like, I'm done.
No, regionals, then sectionals. Oh, nationals.
Whatever they Come went on, to. Aaron, get with I literally fell off. I remember trying to watch it at home by myself one time, and I was like, what the heck am I doing?
Yeah,
turned on something else.
He's a young dude. He's like 30 years old. He's been playing a high school kid for the last 2 or 3 years, and they just found him dead in his hotel room. 31
years old. Why?
Finn Hudson. Police have ruled out foul play. No cause of death has been confirmed. He was in a drug rehab program, apparently.
Well, there it is.
That's breaking news, people.
No explanation needed. Drugs. The life of a Glee member.
Wow. I'm more upset over this than I think I should be.
I think you are. Because first of all, when you said his name, I had no idea who he is.
Wow.
And I still, to this second, cannot tell you what character he played. Was he on season one?
Yeah, he was the main guy. He was the one dating the...
Was he the one getting played?
Yeah, he's always like the one getting played. The clean-faced one... boy, can you see him right here?
Yeah, I see his face, but
he
literally, you can put any... I didn't even know they play instruments.
Well, he kind of did.
Was he the one that the girl said the baby was his, but it wasn't his?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay, because that's the storyline that got me interested. And then once that storyline ran its course, I ran my course and left.
Jeez.
Tragic news. But it's no Heath Ledger.
Wow. I wonder what this is going to do to the Glee video game.
There's a video? Oh, there is a karaoke
video
game.
Yeah, there's a karaoke
game.
Video game. That was meant to be a joke, but...
That's terrible. Now you've really... Now the developers really have to think about what they're going to do with the video game. Way to go.
I want to get the Corey Monolith DLC.
Was he still in the show?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Now what does that do to the show? Does the show still go on?
The show always goes on. Don't you know anything about showbiz?
No. I'm saying, is the show still running, though?
Well, they're on the off season, but to my understanding, they're coming back.
They got picked up for another season. They're eighth. They're still in high school. There's no way you can be on.
No, he was graduated already. I know way too much about this.
So why was he still at the school? Or did they just follow
these
people?
They brought him back as a student teacher. Oh, my.
This is like Safe by the Bell, the new class type of stuff,
exactly.
Where Screech came back as a teacher.
Exactly.
That's our student aide or something. Whatever he came back at, it was a pedophilic type of role where you shouldn't have been around high school students anymore, Screech.
Yeah. Screech's charm wore off when he was like, what, 10?
Yeah, he was done.
Once older Screech.
I respected Screech more than the rest of them, though.
That's true.
He did like the black girl, so I had to give him his props.
Wow.
And then when Zach... try to steal her for like a fashion show or something like that. I was like, you, You bastard, Zach. You didn't pay attention to her Negroness this whole four seasons. And then and now
as
you want to...
As Screech
made
a play.
As soon as Screech made his power play, you want to jump in. And yeah, Screech should have punched the crap out of Zach. But it never happened.
No.
Sad news.
Yeah.
Sad news.
Thoughts and prayers go out to the Monolith family. Anybody listening to this, this is breaking news at the time, but you're not going to hear this probably for another 3 days. So. Well, I don't know. Is that our show today, Aaron?
I don't know. That kind of ends on a downer.
It does really end on a downer, but...
It went from a JLA movie to Monolith dying.
Well, he was my candidate to play Flash.
Are you
really
crazy?
Screws up everything. No, you know, even though it's pretty... I don't want to use derogatory terms on the podcast, but it seems gay. But I think Ryan Gosling would make a good Flash.
Yeah, he would.
He would. Sharp face, you know.
Probably yeah, he's that's probably what it is, the sharp features. He could run quicker. That's what it is. And I've noticed around your studio here, you don't have too many DC anything.
Yeah, that's intentional. I do have the Joker one-off that came out a few years ago, which is a good storyline. But I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel at the moment. And for Wonder Woman, I put a lot of thought into this, and thinking Gina Carano. Tell me you know Gina Carano.
Yeah, the fighter.
Yeah, from Haywire.
Yeah. She would be good. She would be a good.
Who else do you have?
I don't think there's anybody else. I mean, she has the whole fighting, and she still looks really good. You know, little thing that they don't do a lot of in a lot of the cartoons for the JLA is Wonder Woman. I've only seen it in one cartoon where Wonder Woman is actually taller than Superman. Hmm. She's an Amazon.
Yeah, she's an Amazon.
So I mean, camera angles with. That be fine, you know.
That's the only thing I think is suspect on her is the acting ability, the acting chops.
How was she in that movie?
Didn't see it.
Didn't see
but
it?
But the reviews were terrible.
But the fight scenes looked pretty cool
fight
for the trailer.
Yeah. Maybe they can just...
Cut all a bunch of fight scenes.
All the fight scenes and then...
But, I mean, Wonder Woman I don't think would be hard to act. She's a big woman power. You know, they would write all her lines about, you know... girl power type of stuff. It wouldn't be like anything deep from Wonder Woman.
Hopefully.
So she'd be kind of one track, you know, one idea in her head, and that's just, you know, women rule the world type of thing. She's an Amazon. You wouldn't have to do too much. And I think the first JLA member, and I could be wrong, and I probably am, but to actually kill somebody.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, snapped somebody's neck. Sam or Maxwell Lord. He was controlling Superman, mind controlling, and told her only way that you can stop me is by killing me.
Popped
his neck.
Wow.
And you know, they had like comic book backlashes, like, you know, they're not supposed to kill people. And then I think the second, probably wrong again on this one, unless you know, but Green Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
He just shot somebody in the face. In the comic books, he just shot somebody in the face. Got a divorce because of it.
Wow. Well, and I think, I don't know. I don't freak out about murders in comic book movies. I mean, that's just casualties of war. You mean to tell me every time Hulk throws a car doesn't...
Oh, he's probably killed millions.
Yeah.
He's probably killed millions.
Smash some...
But that's the difference between Marvel and DC. DC, your heroes, they're not supposed to kill people.
Really?
That's their whole thing.
Yeah.
Everybody on the Justice League, not supposed to kill their bad guys. They wipe their memories, or they throw them into Arkham, where they escape later.
The worst prison ever constructed.
But Marvel, oh, no, they kill people. They kill people all the time. Yeah. Wolverine alone, you know, he slices people up left and right. They just cut some of that stuff out, you know, because of the audience that they're showing it to. Look at the Punisher.
Oh, yeah.
Punisher doesn't really have...
So brutal.
He doesn't have, not that I can think of, a steady bad guy. Like, you got Spider-Man and Green Goblin.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But Punisher, you have Punisher and then a pile of bodies.
Dead bodies.
That's his bad guys.
Oh, man, a Punisher FPS?
The Punisher game, I think, was decent.
Was it a first-person shooter?
No, no, no. It was third person.
Third person. Actually, yeah. That's even better. Gears of War style with Punisher?
They had a Punisher beat-em-up game, like Castle Crashers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite games. No. This was a long time ago. If you look it up on YouTube, it was one of my favorite video games.
So I'm going to go on YouTube and find out it was one of your favorite video games as a child?
Oh, yeah. It'll be right on there. Like, it's my favorite video game.
Aaron Carter presents
Punisher. And you can play as the Punisher or Nick Fury.
No.
Yes. I kid you not. In the arcade, it was right next to like the Simpsons games, the X-Men games. It was just like those.
Oh, those are so good.
Two-player games. And then you can pick up a gun and you can actually shoot people.
Wow.
And then, but you only had like a certain amount of bullets, and then you would like throw it away, and then you fight with your fist again.
You know how they rebooted the TMNT side scrollers on the Xbox recently? Do that with the Simpsons game.
They did.
No, on Xbox.
Oh my gosh, have you not played your Xbox in like 4 years?
You're freaking kidding me. Steven, I will go download has it right now.
Yes, it's on there. I guarantee
you. Marge with the vacuum.
Bart with the skateboard. Lisa with the jump rope.
Homer with the fist.
Yes.
Ah.
Steven is the only one out of all of us that has it.
Why? Is it multiplayer?
Yes, it's online and everything. They've rehashed all the best arcade ones, except for that Nick Fury.
What about the X-Men?
The X-Men is on. You really have not played any of them, have you?
No.
And I might get the X-Men one, only because that one I think is 5 players co-op.
Ooh.
I think. Could be wrong, though.
They even had an Avengers one back then, didn't they?
That's the one that I want them to put on.
Oh, okay.
They haven't put that one on there, where you could be Vision, Hawkeye, Iron Man, and Captain America. Yep.
That game was awesome.
But see, I think that one, since it was on Super Nintendo and Sega as well, there may be some like licensing or something.
Yeah, because man, when I was a boy, and I went into the Chuck E. Cheese's or whatever, my parents never gave me more than like a dollar's worth of coins. So I probably played through the first level on each of those games we just mentioned, and that's as far as I ever got.
I've only beaten one arcade game in an arcade.
No, you beat one?
Yeah, it was Carnival.
Oh, Carnival's awesome.
Beat that game with a friend of mine. We dumped probably $20 of quarters into that game, but we beat every single level. That's impressive. The most disappointing ending ever.
I didn't even know they put endings in arcade games.
Oh, yeah, really, yeah. It was really an ending. You fought this giant baby at the end, this giant evil baby.
Of course.
And then you kill it, and then it's just like a still image of you leaving the carnival.
Of you?
No, not you. Oh. Like the 3D version of whatever you
there was a camera and taking pictures.
It was bad. It was just terrible. There was no cutscene or anything like the carnival blowing up or something. No, it was just you running away. And it was just, I was like, really? We spent $20 to see a picture? Come on now. And then they run the credits and
bragging
everything.
Bragging rights, though. That should be on your...
What
that,
bragging rights?
That should be on your
tell
business card. Where we, you beat an arcade game in the arcade.
We literally, when we were done, we like turned around to leave, and there's like nobody else in the arcade. So it's not like anybody was sitting around watching us do it. Wow. So, like, it's me and my friend Josh. That's all, we only 2 people there. Bragging rights, because we were in Vegas. We played Marvel vs. Capcom, and it's not a racist thing. Asian people are just good at Marvel vs. Capcom.
It's a fact.
Yeah, it's just a fact. But we were playing. This kid, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Asian kid, he was beating the snot out of both of us. And we were just taking turns going back and forth. Another kid came up. He put his quarter on the screen, as people do in arcade, letting the other person know, universal sign, I got next.
Wow.
Put his quarter on there.
I was not aware of this.
We respect, you know, he went next. The Asian kid just kept beating us. The Asian kid spends no money because if he wins, you know, he gets a free game. So he keeps just cycling us out. I finally get up. I pick my 3, Captain Commando, Ryu, and Cyclops. Totally not a professional at this game. I would get beat any day of the week. But I fight this guy, And either he just got sloppy or something, and I'm, you know, beating him. We're down to our last man. I'm Captain Commando, and he's Chun-Li.
Wow, this is building up.
Oh, man, because it's like the highlight of my video game career, I swear to you. And so he's fighting me, and we're down to, like, the last bars, and he goes up right above me. I'm in the corner with my Captain Commando. He jumps up right above me, and Captain Commando has a special where he shoots like this beam out of his hand. He gets his whole team to drop in with him, and he shoots a beam out of his hand. So he jumps up above me, right above my head, vertical. He's just right up above me. And I trigger the special, and I thought the special started diagonally and then went down. So I walk away thinking, oh, crap, I just lost this match. He's going to drop down on me and kill me. Captain Commando shoots straight in the air,
whoa,
blasts him to death, and then drops him down. And if I didn't run a lap around the arcade,
okay, how old was this Asian kid?
I'm 15 at the age. Yeah, this okay. was years, years. Okay, long.
You're not just
no.
This kid's eight, and you just
we were the same age. And if he ever listens to this, I know it has to burn in the back of his head that I beat him, because the other two guys that were there, my friend and then the random guy, they cheered me on and everything. And I was like, that's right. And I was like, rotate the next person around.
And did he come back and kick your
ass? Oh, yeah. He came back after that and he beat the living snot out of me. We're like, okay. We're like the worst characters, too. Like, he had Sentinel, like slow people, just so he can prove to me, hey, it was a fluke. Yeah, yeah. Like, he did the whole drop the mic on me and everything after he was done. Like, he was really, he was out to prove something. But I knew it stung a little. I knew it stung him a little. And that's all I was there for, just to get that sting. And to this day, I remember that. I will remember that to the day I die.
I know. You're sweating right now.
Because it was a
good. For the viewers at home, Aaron is perspirating.
It was obviously a good. It was a good fight, I swear. It was, and I'm not good. I hate fighting games. But that one was, it's like something came out of me. It was a different Aaron at that time. That's wow. What that was. And I wish cameras were around, you know. And I swear to you, the ending to the story with the whole special straight up, that's 100% accurate.
For the fact checkers?
For the fact checkers, you can go back and see that the special for Captain Commando does start straight in the air and then slams down.
Full 90 degrees, people.
Full 90 degrees. But the rest of the fight was kind of just like a blur, you know. I don't even remember how my first two people died off. I just remember they died, and I just had Captain Commando left. And the ending was just – and then like you get to hear the hyper combo finish and everything. For people that know about Marvel's Capcom, they know that that's – it's one of the sweetest ways to win with a hyper combo finish.
Well, everybody, I think that's our time. We ended on a high note, just like we promised.
And a good story. Tell your kids.
We said there was going to be stories. And we're hoping that this will be a regular occurrence.
Maybe some guests.
Maybe we'll get Shadow.
Maybe a third host.
We don't know. If you want to have any contribution to the show, we're welcome to for input, feedback. Join us, maybe. And
don't forget to like, subscribe.
Yeah, hit like and subscribe. I'm sure it'll be on the page somewhere.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, and how do you end one of these, Aaron?
I think the way you just did.
All right, everybody, thank you very much, and we'll see you on the internet.
Let you bang. Now go fuck yourselves.